Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The text for the 13th Sunday after Trinity comes from our gospel reading of Luke. But the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Thus far the text. This road can be a weird one to travel. Sometimes it's easy, like Sunday morning. Other times it's downright treacherous. For some of us, this road might not take that long to travel. Over in the blink of an eye, before we even knew that we'd started this journey. For others, it seems like an eternity. Whatever the case, it takes a lifetime. But it's a road that we all have to walk, Jerusalem to Jericho. There isn't a soul on this planet who doesn't have to walk this road. When I set out, I'm overcome with a sense of excitement and dread all at the same time. I know that some of this journey is going to be enjoyable. It's going to be fun. Other parts are going to be difficult and trying, and still others are going to be fraught with danger. I've heard that there's bandits on the road. Surely there are bandits on the road. There have to be. Not every road, not any road, is completely safe. They all have their perils that you have to deal with, watch out for. But bandits or not, I'm going to walk this road nonetheless. I must walk this road nonetheless. My eyes will be open. I'll go ahead and I'll try and take in the sights and try and enjoy as much of this journey as I can. But I'll be cautious as well. I don't want to be taken by surprise by anything that might want to actually do me harm. But what will happen if I come across a group of these bad guys, these thieves, these bandits? I'm not really sure. I guess I'll just have to wait and see. What I do know is that if I do happen to come across anyone who's already been assaulted, then I'll do what I must to help them. That's the good and the decent thing to do. That's what my parents taught me, yours too. And they certainly received that good teaching from God Himself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. This I will do, for this is what I'm called to do. But what if I don't recognize that guy? What if he isn't my actual, literal neighbor? I suppose I'll have to stop and give him aid still. I don't choose who my neighbor is, do I? My neighbor's the guy who stands in front of me. But what happens if that guy standing in front of me is someone I don't like? Someone I actually despise? Someone like a Samaritan? Goodness, that becomes a little bit harder, doesn't it? But the Lord's commanded me to help him, even if he is a dirty, filthy, sinful, unworthy Samaritan. So I'll help him. Surely I'll help him. I'll probably help him. Maybe I'll help him. I'd like to think that I'd help him. I guess it depends on the situation. So I set out. I'm far enough away from Jerusalem now that the town is but a speck in the distance behind me. I can't even make out on the horizon Jericho quite yet. It's up there, ahead of me, somewhere up there, along this road. And this is the part of the journey that's quite worrisome. All alone with no one by my side. Too far away from civilization to be assured of any help if I might twist an ankle or have a heart attack or stumble upon one of these groups of marauders that everybody keeps talking about. The perils are many and more out here along this road. So keep one eye on the beautiful scenery and the other looking out for rocks on the road, vultures in the air, and anything that might be big enough for a wild animal or a pack of thieves to hide behind. More walking. The day's getting hot. The sun's beating down. The heat waves reverberating off the ground give off those wavy lines that play tricks on the eye. Up ahead, perhaps 50 yards away, I think I see something lying on the side of the road. It could be a boulder or a fallen dead tree. Maybe it's the carcass of a poor animal that's met its fateful end. Be more cautious now, I tell myself. Hopefully it's just something benign and my imagination is running wild. I should try and get that thing under control. But the closer I get, the more I'm sure that it's not just some inanimate object. Now I really do hope that it's just a dead deer or rotting coyote. Keep walking. I have to get to Jericho. There's no turning back. And I stop dead in my tracks. The thing is barely 10 feet away from me, but it is no thing. It's clear as day that this is a man, lying there as naked as the day that he was born. Except the skin on this man isn't that smooth skin of a baby's butt. Instead, it's bloody and bruised and puffy and black and blue. I think he's dead. He has to be dead. Just look at him. All right, just walk on by then. There's no helping this man now. Maybe if I'd gotten here just an hour earlier, there would have been something that I could do. But it's too late. Just walk on by. I gingerly make my way past him, stepping ever so softly, as if a heavy footfall could awaken a man from the dead. I'm even with him now, and I take a sideways glance at him, even though I don't want to. Did I just see him breathe? No, that's just my stupid imagination again. The man coughs a deep gurgling cough, and I'm frozen. What am I supposed to do now? Help him, you say. How about you come and help him? I'm no doctor. I'm no great physician. What good could I do? I'm out here in the middle of nowhere, and I don't have a donkey to place him upon, and I'm not so strong as to be able to carry him the rest of the way to Jericho. Besides, what if whoever did this to him is still out there? They could be. They probably are. Should I risk my life for this guy that I've never met? Would you? And I'm supposed to be in Jericho tonight. I have to be there tonight. I have to get myself there. And I don't have time to spare to help this wretch. And if he's not dead already, then surely he's half dead, and he's not going to survive the journey. No, I'll just quicken up my pace. I'll get to Jericho as fast as I can, and then I'll tell the magistrate there about this poor schmuck, and they can send a whole team of people to go out and get him, maybe even send a doctor too. So I shuffle over to the other side of the road, and I quickly move past that dying man, past the bloody gurgling, past the guy I've never before, and hopefully will never again see, past my neighbor. But he's not my neighbor. He's a stranger. I don't owe him anything. Don't let those guilty thoughts enter your head. There's nothing I could do. Besides, you're going to find him the help that he actually needs. That's enough. That's more than enough. That's more than what's actually required of me. I'm not sure how long I've been walking since I passed that horrible sight. My mind is lost in thought. Should I turn back? Should I keep going? If I had actually set off yesterday, or maybe tomorrow, I wouldn't have had to deal with any of this. I'm not really concentrating anymore on the road that's ahead of me. Jericho is still out of sight, and everything's just passing me by. Every tree and rock and bend in the road look just like the last one. I'm convinced that I did the right thing, though. Or at least I'm doing the right thing, and I'm doing all that I can. Again, my mind is racing in its own mind's eye, and that's probably why I never saw the shadows moving off to the side of the road. It's probably why I never heard the footfalls running up behind me, never noticed anything out of the ordinary until stars exploded and I tasted that metallic taste of concussion, and then everything just went black. There are a lot of them. That's all I know. Too many to fend off. A punch in the nose, a kick in the ribs, a jerk of the leg, and a twist of the arm. It's all black again. I'm swimming in and out of consciousness. One moment, the sun is directly overhead. The next, I'm sure that it's moved ever closer to the horizon. I'm cold. I think I'm naked. I'm not sure. But they did a doozy on me, that's for sure. I'm dying. There's no other way to say it. And there's nothing that I can do about it. Spinning consciousness again. I see the face of that man that I passed a moment, an hour, a day, a month ago. It doesn't matter. We're one and the same now. We have something in common now, him and I. I guess that means he's my neighbor, doesn't it? I'm not too sure, but I think I remember a couple of people passing me by. They were dressed in their finest finery. One's a priest, I think. The other, I'm sure I've seen his face at the temple before. Both times I feel a sense of hope and relief welling up inside me until pain swells up in my head and I drift off to that place between life and death again. But each time I wake up alone in the same place. It must have been a dream, for if either of those two men were who I thought they were, surely they would have helped me. But I'm alone. I'm dying. I might as well be dead. I see that face again. No, not that face. That one was beaten to a bloody pulp. I can see both of this man's eyes, eyes that are filled with a compassion that I've never really seen before, where I could only have seen half of that half-dead man's eyes before. And that man's lips were swollen and bloody, but on the face in front of me, there's a sad, small little smile that creases out from the corner of his smooth and rosy red lips. Maybe this is the face of an angel. But no, it's the face of a man. A man whom I've never seen before. A stranger, a strange stranger. He doesn't look like me, but he does. He isn't like me. But he is in every way. Recognition now snaps into focus. This man's a Samaritan. What's he doing? I feel him shifting me around, looking me over. Now he's going back to his donkeys, rustling through a bag. What's he looking for? A weapon? A knife? Is he one of those guys who attacked me before and now he's come back to finish the job? But then I remember those eyes and that gut-wrenching compassion that was behind them. He's not here to kill me. But why would he help me? He's a Samaritan. I'm a Jew. Of all the people in the world to stop and have compassion on me, this Samaritan should be the last. He returns to me once again, two bottles in hand. I can sense that he's washing me clean. I can smell oil and wine. I can feel it cold against my skin and then stinging in the places that have obviously been ripped apart. I notice his hands. They're scarred. Now he's binding me up. No broken place, unbandaged. And I'm not naked anymore. What a fine robe this is. Why would he have two of them? But he didn't. The man stands before me half naked. As he turns to his donkey, I notice his back. Those look like scars once again, too many to count. Like he's received a beating of a lifetime that no man should have ever received and no man should ever live through. I'm in his arms now. He lifts me up, carries me like a helpless little baby over to his donkey. He was riding it before, now I am. Draped over this beast of his, wounds now clean and bound, this man's own beautiful garment wrapped around me, I can only think one thing. I don't deserve any of this, especially since I left that poor, helpless sap to die in the wilderness all alone, and I couldn't even be bothered to give that man a drink of water. That and one other thing. I'm never going to be able to repay him. As he reaches out to take the reins of the donkey, I notice his hands once again. Those aren't any ordinary scars at the place where his wrist meets his palms. Those are holes, and they go straight through from one side to the next, almost as if a nail had once been driven through them. The world's spinning again. I can tell that I'm going to drift off into unconsciousness, but it's okay. I think it's okay. I'm sure it's going to be okay. I'm being brought to Jericho. I've been brought back from death to life. I've been saved by a Samaritan. I've been saved by Jesus. In the name of Jesus.